Welcome to another episode of Coaching Through Uncertainty. I'm Brianna Hodges, National Faculty for Future Ready Schools. Joining us today is Jonathan Redeker, K-12 Instructional Technology Coordinator for Goshen, New York Schools. Hey, John, how's it going?
Hey, how are you, Brie? We're doing great out here in Goshen, just getting our feet under us with distance learning.
Awesome. Well, I also will throw in a plug that John is one of our thought leaders, one of our advisors for our Future Ready Instructional Coaches strand. So thank you for your service there. But aside that, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, who you serve, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And I love how you phrase that about who you serve, because I truly feel like that is the role of, first of all teachers. But my role is, even though it's got a title of coordinator, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher on special assignment. And my role in that is to serve teachers and the students primarily, and very much so recently, since we've had the past couple of months of living in a pandemic, a lot of support, extra support for families and parents as well. So I really see that as a triple threat of trying to figure out how do we serve teachers to best serve students. And what I love about having left the classroom, and I lament not having my own kids anymore, but what I love about having left the classroom just last year is that when I can serve one teacher, it impacts exponential growth compared to when I just serve my own classes. So I love that approach. And then of course, a lot of service to parents and support as well in the community. And I am a community member too. So it's about putting back into my own kids' schools and my friends and colleagues and everybody together. So it's a wonderful circle in that. I did leave the classroom last year, and I actually, people think it's a little weird that I was a social studies teacher and I taught US history and government for most of my career. And I've been doing instructional technology support for about half of that time, but only full-time now. And people think it's a weird jump to go from like social studies to instructional technology. But a lot of it is about inquiry and asking good questions and best practices. And so there's so much that overlaps. You know, many people assume science and math or STEAM as a jump into instructional tech, but it's really some of the same thought processes. When we think about how do we connect and really be, you know, future ready learners, a lot of that is what the social studies people have been doing all along, of evaluating where we are and thinking about impact and what's next. So it's a fun aspect to be in. But I'm here because I love kids and I want to keep supporting them. And it's just another way to do that in my career.
I love that. And as a fellow humanities teacher, so I was an English teacher, I completely understand. I also get that question a lot of like, how did you kind of move over here? And I love your response. So much of it is inquiry. So much of it is analysis and that iteration of how can we take interpretations of material and connect it into other ways. So we're kindred there, my friend.
That's awesome.
It's obvious that you truly are a teacher at heart, no matter what role you're in. And I know that one of those things that you've shared with us just then, and that you and I have talked about before, is that ability of the teacher to connect regardless of where we're at, and how that learner, be them small or tall, right? Like, how are they understanding the material and knowing where their skills fall into that? So what does that mean to you right now in these days of trying to connect to our teachers who are struggling maybe with really understanding this material, this new pedagogy, these tools, all of those things that are being thrown at us right now, and how are we kind of coming alongside them and thinking through this with them?
Yeah, it's an interesting time, right? And in New York State, our state education department even initiated a new social emotional learning initiative, which is fantastic and of course needed, especially in this time of crisis with our ongoing pandemic. But of course, always our kids are struggling in life. Life is hard. And so of course, that's a valuable thing to add to our schools. But it's like, you know, every good teacher has already been doing those things and in so many ways. And what we started to miss over the past couple of months is that personal connection of sort of, you know, when that student walks in your classroom and you can see it in their eyes that they didn't have a great day, or they didn't have a great night last night, or they didn't eat, or they're unhappy about something. you really miss that in a digital connection. I think we're going to miss that with masks too, when we have to teach behind a mask in person. When we start, we don't open quite yet in my district, but we're going, that's the plan to move forward with that. And that's going to be quite difficult. So, you know, that's something that we've missed. And that's that human connection that teachers are so good at, about tuning into what's going on with their kids. So we do have to approach that in a new way, and sort of think about using some of these tools to even do that. So sort of a daily check-in, sort of not just a quick, you know, what's your favorite food as your check-in on your Google form, but like, how are you doing today? And it could be emojis for younger grade levels, of even holding it up in class, little sticker or something like that. But we can connect with our kids and acknowledge that this is hard. This is a hard time in life right now. And that a big piece of this for our teachers and our students, what I've spoken a lot about in my career is also how we can use technology to build empathy. And it's a little bit weird because there's a screen, and I actually sometimes hate it in classes, traditionally when there's laptop screens, because they build a wall between you and the other person. But of course, teachers are always circulating, moving around the room. And so how can we build technology to do that? And I like to use the phrase, that we literally use an operating system called Windows. It shouldn't be a wall. It should be a window, right? Where we can open up and see into each other's lives and share things with each other. So I think that's awesome. And ways that we connect to do that can be really powerful. Now it's interesting because we need to connect with our own kids. But I also think, again, back to my social studies background, that we need to connect kids with the world. And many of us live in communities that don't necessarily reflect the world as far as our diversity or our engagement with people of other orientations or religions or backgrounds. And so if we can use technology to connect with people that are unknown to us, so they can be known, or if we can connect to kids to people who are similar to them that don't necessarily exist in their communities, we can suddenly use technology tools to build incredible relationships and to help kids feel grounded and understood in new ways that really we can't do in a regular classroom. But through the use of like Zoom or Google Meets or whatever it is, you know, in your platform, your video chats, we can bring people in into our world through this experience. Just like we brought kids into our homes through virtual learning, we can bring people into our classrooms and our virtual experiences as well to help kids really grow and see that they're not alone and they have people like them, and they can start to build out in tremendous ways. I think that's a great gain if we can start to build that connection. But we also have to start in our classrooms, and that's really difficult when they're virtual, certainly difficult when they're hybrid. But we need to acknowledge the struggle, we need to acknowledge the joy, and we just need to be in it together. So even when kids are having internet problems, we do too, right? Same thing happens. I just replaced my router like 2 days ago, you know, and I should know better that it was outdated. I'm in this field. But we can be honest about those things and understand that this is a struggle, and that builds a human touch and a connection. We are superheroes. Teachers are everyday heroes, but we don't have to pretend to be that way when we're not feeling that way. And I think that's a valuable connection as well.
I love that. The title of this podcast is Coaching Through Uncertain Times. And that is, you know, one of the major struggles as educators. We like to have the answers. We like to know our plan. We like to know, you know, where the direction that we're going. We like to have all of these things in our tool belt, and our toolbox and our playbook of strategy so that we can handle whatever is thrown at us. And I love that you just shared acknowledging that we're not okay with some things right now is really important, because it meets that student, it meets that other person, you know, where they are, and lets them know that they're not alone in feeling that way too, that it's okay for them to feel that way. And I think that is one of those things, as ed techs, as instructional technology people, right? Sometimes our teachers will look at us and go, well, you know, I'm not a techie. You're a techie. It's easy for you. And, acknowledging, like you just shared, having trouble with Wi-Fi, having trouble with programs becomes important, because, you know, oftentimes people think they're either good at it or they're not. So how are you helping your less confident or your more hesitant teachers embrace this situation without feeling overwhelmed right now?
Yeah, it's a great comment. And of course, I made a mistake the other day. I sent out an email to everybody and I forgot to change the share settings on the document. And so I told a buddy of mine, I said, here's the link. Just could you reply all for me? And of course, he roasted me for not, you know, for the tech guy making a mistake. And I love that, right? We have to be human and make mistakes, because even though I might have more skills in something, we all struggle and mess it up too. And that's okay. It's not the end of the world. And so one of the people in my life that's an inspiration, he says the phrase, it's okay to not be okay, as long as you don't want to stay in that place. And so that's about growth. That's a great concept of, obviously there's a lot of writing on growth mindset and all these type of things out there, but it's okay to not be okay as long as you don't want to stay in that place. And so that's about the pursuit of growth. Often time is an issue, but we want to have that heart for that and to say we need to move forward and acknowledge that. So that's a really powerful thing to think about. And obviously now we're in a time of great change, where things are changing so rapidly and applications and websites and services are being thrown at us like crazy. But it's really about like how you connect with what you need, right? Let's do an assessment of what we have. Let's get down to the bullet points and let's connect. And so I actually walked into a group of social distancing math teachers. We're working together, and they had some things written on the chalkboard as we were getting back to school. And it was like some of the applications that we had purchased over the summer. And I said, oh, what are you guys working on? They're like, well, we're talking about like which ones we have that would be good for math and which ones aren't and how we can use them. And so they had a great brainstorming collaboration session. So those even interpersonal relationships are so valuable too. And to foster those is so significant. You know, one of the things about relationships in our schools that's so valuable is that even if we're lacking in something as teachers, our kids don't really notice in the long run. And I think teachers need to be aware of that. It's okay that even if you're lacking, our kids don't remember that you're lacking. Our kids remember how you cared for them, how you looked after them. And so we need to try, and we can fail, and that's okay. We can fail forward and learn from that. All these great mantras and things, they're valuable. But I did a survey of graduates from our school district a few years ago. I don't know how often people do this. Do we survey our graduates, like who have left? You know, how's life going since you left us? I don't know if people really do that. It was great. We reached out to the community. We said, how about like maybe 5 years of recent graduates? How's it going? What did you learn in school? What helped you in college or in your career or the military, whatever you went into? And one of the things that we learned was, yeah, we had some deficiencies in our educational program, but it mattered less to me that we had some deficiencies, because what was overwhelmingly broadcast in that survey was what I remembered about going to school there is that my teachers cared for me. So these young adults who are out there leading in the world and getting jobs or graduating from college or whatever they're doing, like they remembered that. And so that's a hallmark. That's sort of the anchor moment that we can sink into and just remember that as long as we're there for our kids, it's going to really matter. When it comes to our staff, we have to do the same, right? As an instructional coach or as a leader in the school, whether you're a principal, a superintendent, whatever, we have to show these people, our colleagues, that we care about them. And so that could be somebody who doesn't connect with you on a generational level or a tech skill level. But when I walk into a room, I have to build that relationship with that person. And if they need to vent to me for 30 minutes about how difficult it is and how it failed, I need to be able to listen to that and understand their circumstance, that it's hard and they need that acknowledgement. And it's not fake. It has to be real. You can't fake your way through that. I really do want to know. I mean, sometimes I don't have the time, right, to really listen, but I do care that you tried and it's difficult. And I do have that concern that you felt like you wasted your time. And I wish that I could have been there sooner and all those things that I could lament with them. And that lamentation or that listening is so important, because that'll continue to build that teacher relationship as the instructional coach. So I have to think about that all the time. And, I have a colleague of mine who's a dear friend recently told me, like, he regrets not having learned in the past 10 years and just relying on other people to help him, because now he's kind of on his own. And that's a difficult thing, but that was a human connection that he would not have shared with me had we not built a relationship ahead of time. So if you're new in a field, if you're new in a district, of course, it's very difficult. I've been fortunate to sort of grow into my position in my own district and get to know people through over time. But it's still difficult. There's new people all the time and that kind of thing as well. But it's really important to sort of understand, even if you're not in this world, that there's always going to, if you're not, maybe you're new to a district, there's always these different levels of feelings towards instructional technology and training. Also has, maybe they've been burnt by bad training, or maybe you're in a district where the training scrolls through new things all the time. There's always a new initiative based on who's in a leadership position, and it's never the same. That can be stressful for people. So when you come in trying to present something like, oh, this one's not going to last, this is a flash in the pan. So there's all these perceptions that exist. And there's also, you tie into that, a huge slew of tech skills, right? And their flexibility on that. One of my favorite, concepts to debunk is that, many years ago, probably 2 decades ago, they wrote about this, digital immigrants and digital natives and stuff. And I always like to point out, like, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs were not digital natives. They didn't grow up in this world, you know, they created it. And so we can do that too. We can be creators in this space. So I have to think about that. And I had a session the other day in front of high school, all high school teachers. And I was talking about technology tools. And I said, it's day one. If you're day one, that we're a G Suite school, I said, there's intro to Google Classroom in the Google training domain. You can go there for free and no one will judge you. You can get everything you need, right? No judgment zone. That's really helpful for people. Here's basics. You know, I got tagged on Facebook on something. One of my friends from the school district said, how come we didn't know about this, Jonathan Rediger? And I'm like, well, you know, frankly, some people still don't know 10 steps back from that. So yeah, we're working there. But it's interesting to think about, just like we teach in heterogeneous classes and it's difficult, you have to differentiate and work with your different groups. It's the same way when we're dealing with staff as well. And so we have to understand that. So when you're a big group, you have to sort of give intro, middle, and high, and let people tune out over time. Maybe you've got people for an hour, maybe you have people for the first 10 minutes, but I like to scaffold my approach when I'm working with them, understanding that some people will be overwhelmed, and I'll make it very clear. Some of you are done. You'll tuned out. You should maybe even walk out right now out of this session. And then others are going to want to stay in it and keep going. But, you know, if they hear enough ideas, I hope that something gets planted in them, like, oh, you know, maybe I can do that in my school. The biggest thing that I think we need to work on with teachers is the application piece, right? So we can hear about all sorts of technology, but I can't make an illustration for everybody all the time. Like, and if you're a kindergarten teacher, you could. And if you're an eighth grade teacher, you could. And if you taught, you know, global studies, you could. You can't always make that bridge, but helping people with their personal learning communities or going back to departments to discuss or grade levels. Those are just great skills to think about that, like, hey, this is a lot. Let's break it down together in teams. So having those small group approach is really helpful too when time allows.
Wow, you can definitely hear the teacher come out in this conversation for sure, because I love that. I love that you're acknowledging that we all come with different situations, different suitcases, different, you know, scenarios and strengths as we approach any type of learning. And, you know, certainly I had my fair share of students who would come into my classroom that are like, oh, I'm just bad at writing. And I'm like, no, you don't get to say that, right? Like, let's approach this. We didn't just, you know, let them walk out of the classroom because they declared themselves bad at it. We brought them in and kind of had some of those conversations.
Similarly, if I could just interject, I used to think I was bad at math because I had a math teacher I didn't like, and it was about the personality, not about the subject matter. And so that makes a difference too. And trying to connect with everybody is not an easy task, but it's something that personal connection is still very valuable. So if I can get to know about their kids or, you know, their own children, and maybe their adult children or their grandkids or whoever it might be in their life, what they like to do for fun, like, those are connection points that help me engage with people when possible. But it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I love that, because you're basically, you know, walking us through personalization of learning. Doesn't have to be that you are making, you know, 400 versions of this. It means that you are connecting personally so that you can understand where that personal lens comes in, and then provide a perspective that will help them connect a lot more. And I think that is, you know, in these uncertain times where we're really juggling a lot as coaches, but also being very appreciative of what the teacher's plate is, because, you know, we're all dealing with things that we haven't seen before, and coming in and really, you know, narrowing it down by taking it a little bit at a time, and coming out with, you know, relationships first, making sure that we understand where they are, meeting them where they are, and not trying to do everything all at once is certainly really important as we come in. So I'm going to ask you one final question, and you know, we've said that we don't have a playbook for what's to come. You know, if you would have asked me this time last year if I ever saw this coming, I would absolutely tell you no. So I think that we're all kind of, you know, we're in uncharted territory with a lot of this. But what is, as one of the nation's top instructional coaches, what's a play that that we could use in our own playbooks? What's a strategy or a focus or a format or something like that you're using that we could kind of take for ourselves?
Sure. And I think I alluded to one already, and I'm not going to focus on that one now, but the idea of sort of breaking down and differentiating groups is obviously great. But I was talking to a teacher this morning, and she just said, after the first day of school, we just so appreciated your email encouraging us. And I wasn't in every classroom. I wasn't on every Google Meet. I couldn't do it, but I saw the effort, and I could see the exhale at the end of the day about how difficult day one of virtual learning was for this new environment. So for me, I would focus now on encourage and communicate. And those are maybe the two things to think about. And encourage through communication, obviously they go together so well, but people want to hear that they're doing well in an authentic way, and not just like an attaboy, pat on the back kind of thing, but that their work is appreciated, that the work is hard, but the kids are worth it. I think we've heard that maybe from Tom Murray. But we have, and I love that mantra, but I think it's so valuable to just give that authentic feedback to people and over communicate. Over communication, not like CCing everybody on everything, but to just blast out uniform messages to folks who it applies to. It's so valuable. And then to just be positively connecting people, acknowledging their difficulties and moving forward together. Because that builds teamwork, it builds collaboration, and it builds a culture that our people are ready to then turn around and say, you know what, he or she is here to help me. And that's what we need to build together. And I think that's going to probably be my answer there today. It's not what I started with when we prefaced this conversation.
I love it. Well, all right, my friends, grab that one for your playbook, add it to your toolbox. Thanks so much to our guest, John Redeker, and all of you out there who are coaching through uncertainty. Keep leading the way, friends.
Thanks, Bree.
Coaching Through Uncertainty is a Future Ready Schools podcast series that explores the new shifts in teaching and learning that are happening right now. Future Ready instructional leaders, coaches, and teachers are navigating challenges that were theoretical, optional, or barely feasible only last year, but have now become full-blown, full-speed, in-the-moment realities. Coaching Through Uncertainty is hosted by me, Brianna Hodges, National Faculty for Future Ready Schools. In each episode, we'll connect with Future Ready coaches on a mission to inspire, engage, and amplify innovative professional practice. We'll hear from the nation's top instructional leaders as they share their experience, expertise, and advice to reimagine teaching and learning to better suit today's learners with tomorrow's tools. You can subscribe and listen to Coaching Through Uncertainty wherever you get your podcasts. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Coaching Through Uncertainty and Future Ready Schools are projects of the Alliance for Excellent Education. Together we're better. Together we're future ready.